Good evening. Today is March 27th, 2024, 7 p.m. in the Genoa Township Hall. The agenda items this evening are zoning case 2024-01 TGB Holdings, the second meeting. Staff present this evening, Joe Schaefer, Director of Development and Zoning, Paul Benson, Deputy Zoning Director. Mr. Schaefer, roll.
Mr. Carter.
Here.
Mr.
Sears. Here. Mr. Leff.
Here.
Ms. Walsh.
Here.
Mr. Wester.
Here.
And I'll note that Mr. Welch and Mr. Bernard are absent, as we knew they would be.
Statement of policy. This meeting may be recorded. Such recordings are public record, may be posted online, and could be subject to review in court. As is the adopted policy of the Zoning Commission, all applicants will be granted an opportunity to make their formal presentation. The audience may be then granted an opportunity to comment, followed by the applicant's response and questions from the commission. The chairperson may limit repetitive debate and reserves the following rights: to limit comment to items on the agenda, to limit public comment to 5 minutes per person, to restrict the number of times a member of the public is permitted to speak, and to enact any other reasonable ad hoc protocols or measures necessary to maintain a fair, safe, and orderly meeting. This policy was adopted by the commission to provide for the respectful, constructive, and efficient discussion of business scheduled for consideration and to allow for proper due process as required by law. Time is now 7:01. TGB Holdings LLC requesting approval of final development plan amendment for a 1,360 square foot addition on 2.46 acres at 6030 Chandler Court, PIN number 31731305015001, a restaurant currently zoned planned industrial district PID, also known as Gio Marcos, zoning case number 2024-01. For those speaking tonight on behalf or members of the public, please rise and be sworn in. Are you going to speak? Raise your hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Be seated. The legal notice for this meeting was printed and published on February 24th, 2024 in the Delaware Gazette and posted at the Genoa Township Hall on February 14th, 2024. An attempt to mail notice of this hearing to property owners with 500 feet to the subject property was also made. The following were marked as exhibits A through G: A, the legal notice; B, affidavit of advertisement; C, sign-in sheet; D, application and plans originally received January 31st, 2024; E, staff technical review dated March 22nd, 2024 for the 27th meeting; exhibit F, staff memo dated March 22nd, 2024 for March 27, 2024 meeting; G, all public comments received between January 31st of 2024 and March 11th of 2024, and Exhibit H, the revised application and plans received March 18th, 2024. Mr. Schaefer, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have received a couple supplemental materials since that exhibit list. I'll get on those momentarily, and the commission can decide whether or not you want to include those as exhibits or how we want to handle that. So, apologies for not being here at the last meeting. I can assure you, I'd rather have been here than dealing with the illness I was dealing with. So since you've already gone through the project, you're all familiar with the project, I'm going to dive right into the report. But before I do that, I guess I just want to confirm, Mr. Sears and Mr. Wester, you were both here at the last meeting, right? So you're both familiar with the contents of the application, even though you weren't seated members. Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yes.
So again, going to dive right in, and I'm just going to focus on the highlighted commentary and the memo and the technical review, and then I have some additional comments to add on to that based on there's been a lot of conversations and moving parts here these last few days to get you caught up on. Some of you, I'm sure you've seen some of the emails. Some of you may or may not have time to really dive into it, but I'll try to do my best to get you caught up now. First, in regards to the development text, there had been a comment about basically revised the development text that had been submitted previously to indicate that it was a supplement to stuff that had previously been approved with prior cases. However, that was done. However, pursuant to the Zoning Commission's directive that everything needs to be consolidated at the last meeting, that comment somewhat became moot because now we're not supplementing everything. We're basically pulling all the five cases over 12 plus years together into hopefully a brand new package. So it's really not a supplementation. Now we're basically replacing what had been done and trying to get it all back together again. So that, like I said, that comment is somewhat moot now. Numerous visions will still need to be made to the submission package to properly achieve the goals of the directive the commission gave for the consolidation. Such revisions are detailed in staff's updated technical review report, which I'll go through here. here in a few minutes. Said report is also being supplemented by additional documentation prepared by staff, as well as staff's handwritten review notes to guide and assist the applicant in this manner. You know, this is a little bit more of a somewhat of a complex matter and something we've done before, but it's not something we do with every application. So I did try to make some extra effort to try to help the applicant along to get where this application needs to go, because this is, even for staff, a little bit complex and having to do it. So I can't imagine the complexity of someone who doesn't live it every day trying to wrap their heads around it. There are still no new divergences being requested. Per the application, we'll go through the review and determine whether any additional ones may or may not be needed. So the first comment in the staff comments in the memorandum was a comment about the square footage on the plan drawings we had gotten didn't match the figure identified in the cover letter. In terms of the size of the addition, that's been rectified. The addition is 1,360 square feet. However, in reviewing those revisions, staff did notice that the square footage listed for the existing building and the current materials is inconsistent with prior approvals, and this matter would need to be resolved. So that's still an outstanding item. I mean, generally speaking, the numbers we have over the years are all well within the ballpark of one another, but it would be nice to have one consistent number and carry it through. I mean, just for example, I went through and pulled all the different numbers I've seen in the records over the years. So in 2009, the approval was for approximately 6,000 square feet. For whatever reason, the zoning permit issued for construction was for 6,636 square feet. Plans we approved in 2016 said, oh, it's 6,500 square feet. Plans we approved in 2017 said it was 6,563 square feet. County records say, the auditor's site claims it's 6,645 square feet, and this proposal says it's 6,635 feet. So you can tell they're relatively within the ballpark, within a few hundred feet, if not less. But it would be nice to know exactly what that number is and have that be, yes, that is the accurate, correct number, and it's not changing because that now we know is correct. So candidly, if the permit said 6,636, the proposal says 6,635, and the county has it 6,645. Those are all pretty close to one another, so I tend to think it's probably somewhere in that ballpark. And the only reason it's a huge deal, other than just making sure the record's accurate, is, you know, we need to be able to compute the lot coverage accurately. They're close. They're somewhere in the neighborhood of 72% in terms of pervious surface coverage. It's still below the maximum threshold that they'd be permitted, but as we get closer and closer to that 75%, you know, every square foot's going to count. I tend to think 10, 20 so feet is probably going to be de minimis in terms of calculating that percentage overall on a site this size, but still, it's important that we get those numbers correct. Moving on, the next comment had to do with updating the drawing, the prior drawing we had got prior to the one we received today. There was a lot of existing conditions and features that were missing from the drawing, so that was one of staff comments, is if we're consolidating everything and basically replacing a lot of the old documents with this document, needs to make sure it's reflecting what's actually there and it's accurate. Staff note on that was a review of the prior drawings and existing conditions via aerial imagery indicates some features are still not portrayed accurately. Furthermore, some existing features are drawn but not labeled. Staff is requesting these items be resolved by means of providing an updated separate existing conditions plan drawing or putting them on the plan, the current plan drawing. Having a separate drawing, if they go that route, would also help to further distinguish between the proposed improvements and what already exists. I can say we did get an updated drawing today that did add those existing features other than some of the landscape plantings onto it. They didn't label everything like I had asked, but candidly, I feel like, you know, this is an item I'm willing to meet them halfway on and compromise on of, okay, now I at least understand what the site looks like, and I feel like this is an accurate representation of actually what is on the site. So I feel like we're heading in the right direction there. The next comment I had follow-up on was, again, regarding impervious surface. Impervious surface coverage figures are contradictory in the revised text received on March 18th, even in the lines of the text itself, and also do not exactly match the figure listed on site exhibit 1-1. This matter needs to be resolved. Again, we're just trying to make sure for consistency and accuracy through all the documentation that if it says it's one percentage here, that the percentage on the drawing is the same and is all lined up so we can get rid of some of these discrepancies that we've been having. Next comment was about, again, about the as-built conditions of the site and the building size to make sure that the site doesn't exceed the 65,000 square foot building maximum for a development. We all know that this is well under that. 6,000 plus square feet plus another less than 2,000 square feet is still going to be well under 65,000 square feet. So I'm not hugely concerned about that issue, but it does need to be documented accurately. Parking. This is probably where we're going to get into a lot of fun because there's a lot to say about this one. So I'm going to go through the comment that I wrote and issued in the memo, and then I'm going to go through a whole bunch of stuff that's happened since then. So regarding the parking count, the original concern was that, A, they had not given us the correct calculations in terms of the required number of parking spaces that were going to be needed for the site with the addition taken into account. And also, I questioned whether the parking count that they had, the existing conditions parking count they had given us was accurate, because what staff was counting on aerial imagery wasn't lining up with the numbers they had given us. So after we got the revisions on the 18th, I reviewed them and wrote this note. Note, the requested parking ratio calculation has been corrected. However, staff has observed that the number of existing parking spaces per a hand count done using aerial imagery does not match the number of existing spaces shown on Exhibit 1-1, nor does it match the prior plan approvals. Additional information regarding this matter can be found in staff's technical review document. If compliance cannot be achieved and demonstrated, a divergence request for the number of parking spaces provided in the development may be necessary. Part of the counting problem relates to the application, including parallel parking spaces that, despite prior discussions several years ago about them, do not appear to have been authorized or approved, and as such are not recognized and should not exist. So what happened today as part of this site plan was they realized that, yeah, they had made an error in terms of on the 18th plans in terms of the information they had given me and how they calculated the required number of spaces. Essentially, there was an error in the number of employees that they said were going to be on the site and involved with this. So when they made that correction, if you do the math now, they're saying they've got the whole restaurant can hold 326 patrons. You're required one space per three patrons. Plus, you have to provide one space for employee, which they write as being 21. So if you do all that math, it comes out to 130. So the actual number of required parking spaces on this site with the addition is 130 per the math they've done.
So the other one that said 345 was a double count of employees and
patrons. Yes, yeah, that's essentially what happened. There was a double counting somewhere. And, you know, staff has no way of knowing that because we just assume we don't know how many employees are in there, and we don't know how many patrons can fit in there. So we just took the numbers at face value, and the applicant had to figure that out on their end. So the bottom line is the site needs to have 130 spaces. Then the question became, well, how many spaces are actually out there right now? Because the 2017 plan, which approved the Western parking lot expansion, claimed when it was all said and done that it was 130. Well, in looking back at aerial imagery and the plans, we figured out, well, the plans may have said 130, but that's actually not what was there. It was actually undercounted by two spaces.
How many? Pardon me?
It was undercounted by two. There's actually 132 spaces that existed out there. So 130 on paper in the 2017 amended approval, but in all actuality, it was 132. So, you know, a couple more spaces actually probably wasn't injurious, because the footprint of the parking lot hadn't changed.
Okay.
So when you you also have to factor into account that when they did their calculations for the current site, they assumed that they were losing a space because they have to add that ADA space. In reviewing the 2017 plans, turns out they already accounted for that ADA space because that space was actually shown on the 2017 plans. It just never was put in. So when you do that math, now they're actually at, that brings that number of existing spaces to 133 because they never lost that space that they thought they were going to lose back in 2017 with the ADA change. And the ADA change is a result, and I think you heard this at the last meeting, the ADA rules basically set how many accessible parking spaces you have to have based on the number of parking, the size of the parking lot. So the parking lot addition back in 2017 technically triggered the need for the fifth space, but they never did it. And since staff doesn't enforce ADA, that's why we never caught it. It's usually, I think, something that gets done is on the building department end of things. So essentially now what they're proposing with this plan is 132 spaces. But if you count up what they have here, you're going to notice that that number, 132, is the right count. Their count is a little over for a couple reasons. Number one, they're counting a space that prior plans have not counted. And forgive me, but I'm going to come up to the TV because it's just going to be way easier. So this space right here, they count this as a parking space. That is not actually a parking space per any of the prior plans. So that's why their number was also slightly off from what staff was counting, because they were counting a space that we were not counting.
So it's lined and it's the size of the space, but it was not counted as a space?
If it got lined, it wasn't supposed to be lined. So on the prior plans, that was not intended to be a parking space.
Okay.
From what I'm seeing. So, you know what, I might as well just stay up here because there are a couple other comments regarding parking. So another thing we found out when I was doing the counts was that, and another reason why this hadn't made sense to me before, because the prior drawing showed this row at 16 and now they're at 15. Well, that's because there used to be a space here when this lot, and if you, for those of you who are around at the time, you remember when this western lot wasn't here and the parking lot ended here, it was another space here. So that space went away when they had to open up this drive aisle. So that's another reason why that number was in discrepancy with prior iterations of the plan. And then this number here is probably a little more concerning to me, because in 2013, when actually this section of the parking lot expansion was approved, because originally the parking lot ended at the lot line back in like 2010 when they first built it, and then they came back in 2011 and expanded it to this section here on the first couple rows west. Those 2011 plans say there was only supposed to be 13 spaces here. They're showing them as 14 spaces. And I've counted the aerial imagery in this plan. And yeah, there's 14 spaces on the aerial imagery. There's 14 spaces on this plan. But prior to the 2011 plan, clearly showed that it was supposed to be 13. So staff's only concern there is if, assuming these drive aisle widths didn't change and this parking area didn't get shifted closer to the road, which I see no indication that either of those happened, the only other logical explanation would be that these parking spaces are actually narrower than what the code would require. So, because that's the only way you'd be able to pick up enough room to add an extra space. If they were 9 feet wide instead of 10 feet wide, if you do 9 feet over even just, again, 10 spaces, you're going to pick up the 10 feet that you need to add the extra spaces. So that's something we're going to probably have to deal with a little bit. Again, I have no proof of that, though. I didn't have an opportunity to go out there and actually physically measure the spaces. I did measure them on the auditor's site. That space, compared to some of the other spaces on site, those spaces did seem to be slightly narrower. However, that seems to be how they were built back as far as 2013. So in one degree, yeah, the plan should match, but to the same degree, I think that's basically how they've always been, at least back to 2013. When I pulled up the aerial imagery and counted, it was 14 spaces then. So that means it's been like that for, you know, 10 plus years. So do we consider it water under the bridge at this point? Just say, you know, it is what it is. It got built the way it's built, and just say, you know, we're more concerned about the number of parking spaces and the fact that maybe some of them are slightly narrower than the code would normally allow. So we'll have to talk through that. Another thing that came up regarding parking, and it's less of an issue now that we know that they don't need to add spaces to the site to make it compliant, because we figured out that their calculation was previously incorrect. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back up to the screen. I mentioned the parallel spaces. Those are these spaces here. And that was another reason their count was off, because they were counting these three spaces. No prior plans that we've ever approved have acknowledged that these spaces are permitted. I remember talking about them back in 2016, 2017, when we were going through this whole parking lot expansion approval. I couldn't remember, though, why they ultimately didn't end up in the plans until I saw this plan that we got today, and I finally realized why I told them back then I didn't think it was a good idea and why I continue to think it's not a good idea to count those as official spaces. Essentially, the problem is these spaces pinch down this drive aisle to a width that's no longer meets the township's requirement for two-way traffic. So that's why it became one-way traffic flow through here, because there was not enough room for two-way traffic flow. That continues on all the way in front of all of these parallel parking spaces. The problem being, over here, you've got two-way flow, and here you've got two-way flow. So from here to here, it's only wide enough. It's this weird sort of both where it's supposed to be one-way flow, but there's two-way flow this way. So to make this function right, you would need like a do not enter sign in this corner so people going this way would know that they can't keep going that way. And you'd also need a no left turn sign here so people coming down this way know that they can't go that way. To me, that seems very unorthodox and not safe. And since it's a very unpredictable parking lot layout, so staff would still prefer that those, especially since we don't need them anymore for compliance purposes, that those three parking spaces come off the plan and ideally be taken off the site. Now, to avoid that traffic flow conflict, if people decide to park there of their own volition, nothing anyone can do there about that, but at least we're not going to, my opinion is we shouldn't count them towards the official parking count or acknowledge that they're supposed to be there, because I don't think that traffic flow works very well. So, circling back to the issue of whether or not the parking spaces may or may not be too narrow, the 9 feet versus 10 feet, if the commission's comfortable with it, you know, you could either say it's water under the bridge, we're just sort of accept this as it is, and it just happens somehow, and can't prove it one way or the other, so we're not going to, without going out there and physically measuring it, so we're going to just let it be. Or we could say, well, maybe for the sake of safety and to just document it on the plans, maybe we're willing to add a divergence in there to section 190301 that basically says this row of parking here would be permitted to go down to 9 feet in case that is what it really is. And then that way that documents it and cleans up any.
You can see that it's narrower.
Yeah.
Because the lines match up to the one lot, the one next to it. And
yeah, so we'll have to figure that one out.
Okay.
But moving on from parking, since I've drawn on about that particular topic, I'm sure longer than anyone really wanted to hear. The next comment was regarding existing landscaping, vegetation, and there was a claim that it was going to, you know, any vegetation that was going to be disturbed would be done at a 1-to-1 ratio. Staff's note on that was the updated plan drawings received on March 18th show the two trees that are being impacted by the building expansion would be relocated to the western end of the site. However, this poses a problem as per the prior development plan approvals, there are supposed to be landscaping plantings already in that area. It appears that they were never planted. The landscape plan would need to be updated to account for this. And also staff recommends that a condition of approval, should the commission be interested in approving the application, be that a zoning permit for the addition not be issued until the plantings along the western border of the site that were previously required are actually planted. That item still remains outstanding as of this evening. The applicant's response to the March 18th, there was then a comment about lighting fixtures. Staff's note was the applicant's response received on March 18th indicates no new lighting is proposed. However, pursuant to the commission's directive to consolidate prior approvals, the development text and application packet will need to be updated to include all prior information, plans, cut sheets, specifications, et cetera, pertaining to lighting. So not really a compliance concern there, just again, it's more about that consolidation and getting it all into one case file again. The applicant should submit documentation stating whether they believe this was a major or minor amendment. I know the commission discussed that at the last meeting. They did provide that information. Just more of a staff note, based on some of these changes that are happening, the applicant may need to make sure that their responses that they provided on March 18th are still valid and accurate. Pursuant to some of these revisions that have been made or are going to need to be made to the site moving forward. And obviously the commission will have the final determination on that anyway, so perhaps you don't feel like you need to see updated argument from the applicant on that specific topic, if the commission feels like they're able to review that without getting additional information from the applicant, then you're free to do that. Next comment was, if the application is approved, the applicant will have to apply and obtain a zoning permit. I just added a clarification there that it has to happen, obviously, prior to the construction of the expansion. So I think that's really nothing to do there. It's more just informational. So moving into the development review, I'll try to keep this a little higher level. You can see there's a lot of comments in comment number one about consolidating the text and updating the development text. There's a lot of items there that are still outstanding. Again, a lot of them aren't necessarily compliance issues, but they are what I would call quasi-legal issues, where we really want to make sure this document reads the way it needs to read, so it works for staff and it works for the applicant in terms of understanding what is allowed, what isn't allowed, what rights they have, and what from the prior approvals is all getting pulled in. So I know it's very detailed and very technical, but that's the nature of this beast. And it's important that we get those items right, because if we don't, it could open up a loophole either for, you know, that staff can't administer things the way it needs to be done, or may not, you know, there's a scenario where it could possibly, you know, not work for the applicant, where they thought they could do something, but now we didn't write things didn't get written a certain way, and they actually can't, and then they're going to have to come back through this process and clean that all up, which I'm sure they would prefer not to do. So, excuse me. So that's why we're really trying to make sure we get all that writing cinched up. So that's comments A, or comment one, subcomments A through I. Subcomment 1J of the technical review was regarding providing development text, the text that we received on March 18th didn't contain anything regarding signage. We know there's signage on the property. And actually, what you see on your desk before you is materials we got yesterday with a desire to incorporate one additional sign as part of this proposal for the project. It's the letter G that would be placed on the addition. So the applicant did provide me development text that goes through Article 18, as well as the diagrams you see on the TV illustrating the sign. I reviewed that and sent them back feedback this morning in terms of stuff that needs to be cleaned up and what they submitted. Big picture, I don't have compliance concerns with what they're looking to do here. They got a divergence in 2009 for signage and basically wrote their own sort of sign standards of what they were allowed to do. And I asked Mr. Bernardo on Friday, did you even put all these signs up that you even said you were, that you asked to get permission to do? He said, no, we actually didn't do a couple of these. So basically what he's doing, in my opinion, he's actually making the scenario better from what he had actually proposed in 2009 was, he said, well, okay, well, we didn't put up two of those signs. So, and when you add those signs together, it was one sign at 4 square feet and another sign at 4 square feet. We'll just say, instead of doing two signs, each at 4 square feet, I'll just strike that and amend the plan to say, we're gonna do 1 8-square-foot sign. So it really sort of comes out in the wash at the end of the day. So staff really doesn't have a concern there, especially since there's already a divergence for the signage. Candidly, if that was the only thing he was doing on the site, if he had just come in and said, hey, I want to add this letter G to the building, I probably would have administratively approved it because it would have been in spirit, within the spirit and intent of the original approval. And also there's a provision in the zoning code that basically says any sign type that's permitted, that's not temporary, that's 8 square feet or less and meets certain dimensional requirements are allowed in every zoning district. So there would have been really no reason to probably say no. So most of my commentary that's left about the signage text and the drawing is more, again, just the hyper technicalities and making sure things are exactly worded the way they need to be worded.
You have another supplemental piece of signs that's not in here.
Oh, it's not in that one. Is there another? Did we?
I see the sign. But the sign.
There's text. There's article. He pulled it up.
We got the article comments into.
Okay. Right? Yeah. So and that's what right? Paul had. What's
Paul's
that?
Paul's got the actual zoning resolution sign standard with the comments.
Yeah, that's actually what. So this is what they submitted, the text they actually submitted for it. And then I think I provided you in the email I sent this morning the commentary I sent them back. As to fix this. And like I said, you'll basically see it's mostly wordsmithing things. They have to elaborate in a couple areas about the existing conditions. But Paul, yeah, if you keep scrolling, you'll get to the section where you can see the meat of what they're proposing and how it looks so the commission can see. Keep going. We're not quite there yet. If the computer lets you. Almost there. Right there. That's it. So there you can see under the section of the sign code that talks about existing signage, they listed out the existing conditions on the site, and they listed they had a divergence, and here's what the divergence allowed, and then here you can see their amended approval to basically consolidate what was items C and D from that divergence approval into just the singular sign. So that's all pretty straightforward there. Items 1K and 1L are still outstanding, and again, it has mostly to do with the development text and the lighting stuff that I've already spoken to. Item 3 in the technical review had to do with getting all those existing features on the plan. Sub-items A through I have all haven't necessarily all been labeled, but they are on the plans. So staff is willing to compromise there and say we've met the spirit and intent what we're looking for. Sub-item J was showing all the existing landscaping beds and trees throughout the site. That still needs to be done. And that probably will get done in conjunction with the other landscaping comment that I already threw out there about the landscaping on the western end of the site. We already talked about the size and square footage of the building. Comments 7, 9, 10 have to do with just updates to the development text that need to be done in Article 13. Article 11 is the impervious surface coverage discrepancy I've already discussed. Comment 12, again, has to do with just the development text and the square footage overall of the building. We've already covered all that. 13, 14 have to do with the development text, again, for Article 13, getting things cleaned up. Comment 15 is the landscaping comment on the western end and the two trees. Comment 16, is again text revisions needed for Article 13. Article 22 is all the parking stuff I went through a few moments ago. Subcomment E under 22 is just basically saying the development text needs to be updated to reflect all the stuff we just talked about. Comment 27 has actually been addressed. Comments 28, 29, and 30 are all outstanding. 28 is about the overall site landscaping from prior approvals needing to be shown on the plan, which I've already alluded to. 29, again, talks about cut sheets, typicals, and stuff from old plans needing to be brought in. And 30 was about, there were several changes administratively approved by Joe Clace, the prior zoning inspector, back in, I believe it was 2010. Those items need to somehow just be incorporated in this plan as well to document that. That's why if what you're looking at here doesn't look like the plan that was approved in 2009. And with that concludes the technical review. I just wanted to touch base on, so last Friday when the applicant got this memorandum, the technical review, and then hopefully you saw the other supplemental items I provided them to hopefully further give them guidance on how to do this. So essentially what I did was I went through the development text and literally line by line redlined all the changes that I just went through and then some, even more specifically than what I just spoke to try to tell them, okay, in this section, this needs to be reworded to this. This needs to read like this. You need to elaborate here. So I typically don't give people my redline notes from these reviews, but I thought in this instance, it would probably be very helpful to them. So I scanned those. They have those. Same with the site plan drawing. I had given them a markup of the site plan drawing that I identified, okay, here's all the things you need to fix and where all the issues are. They have that. I also took upon myself to type up a five-page document regarding sort of an outline of this is really how we want the development text to look and flow, at least at a general high level. And I gave them even some general guidance of stylistically, formatting-wise, this is what the commission prefers to see. This is what staff prefers to see. And honestly, I'm glad I did that work because part of this whole process made me realize perhaps we need to have at least a template for people who don't normally do development texts that I can give them and say, okay, here's the guidance on how it should be formatted, here how the style of writing should be, how we generally it should be structured. So they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. So I probably will refine that list at what we did at some point because I think it will be helpful for people going forward. I also provided them the list of all the zoning permits that we have on file that have been issued for this because that's information I want to incorporate in the plan. So again, ideally, when this is all pulled together and should it get approved, someone can pick up all these materials and basically know the entire history of the site, all the permits that were approved, what's okay to do, what's not okay to do, what's approved, and what this proposal to expand the building included. So I know that's a lot to wrap your heads around. I went through a lot, and some of it's very technical, very detailed, and I had to do it relatively quickly so we could all get home in a decent hour. So I'm sure there'll be questions, and I will be more than happy to answer them from whoever has them. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaver. And I will say thank you very much for the work that you and Paul and Susan put into this. This is above and beyond what we normally see, and I thank you for that, especially with us putting a special meeting on the agenda and turning this around. So thank you. If you could turn your mic on, just push the button, and name and address, and please go ahead.
My name is Julie Godfrey, and my address is 3737 Hidden Cove Circle in Lewis Center, 43035. And I am here as an owner rep, newly brought on board. I am also the sister to Tom Bernardo and his wife, Mayor. I did the original building construction with my previous company. And not fully up to speed on everything just yet, but I'm getting there. And hopefully we can kind of get this over the finish line. And I do want to thank you, Joe, for all your help, because I did see all that effort. And it's greatly appreciated. It is difficult to go through these, so.
If anything to present on information or anything more about what we haven't seen or where we're going?
Well, I did have a statement that I was asked to read from Mr. Bernardo, if that's all right. We have diligently provided all necessary details for the approval of adding approximately 50 seats to our bar area. We've addressed parking concerns, including a handicapped spot, and revised our occupancy calculations to meet requirements. Per the 2017 development text, our current number of parking spots are compliant per drawing. Additionally, we've included documentation on assisting signage approvals to ensure transparency. We request approval for the addition separately with the commitment to consolidate past approvals into one document. We have been in constant communication for the last weeks with Joe and his team to make sure we meet all of these conditions and revisions requested in the March 18th response from this commission. Our longstanding commitment to the community ensures our continued engagement in this process. Your support for this time-sensitive project is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your consideration. An affirmative vote this evening.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Any public comments? Going once, going twice. All right, public comments closed. Commission. Comments, questions?
If we called this meeting, hopefully to get some kind of something finished up. That was the mm-hmm. whole intention of it. We've gone over a lot of stuff, and it sounds like we're pretty much there with everything. Is there a defined list of things that we would need to have conditionally attached to our approval tonight?
Straightforward. Yeah, that's a good question. So I didn't put some of the feedback I've provided Mr. Bernardo over the past couple days, because I wasn't sure at times whether what I was getting was sort of workshop draft documents or actual official revisions, I didn't incorporate them into the technical review report. And frankly, I was just having to crank them out so fast and get them back to him. I didn't have a lot of time to actually copy and paste them into the document. I was just trying to write up the comments and get them to him as soon as I could. So definitely I would say you know, if we're going to go down that path, and that's obviously a path we could go down if the commission's generally comfortable with where this at and is and wants to just rely on staff to do the cleanup work, I would definitely say, you know, any outstanding comments identified by staff in their memorandum, their technical review report, as well as any correspondence between March 18th and March 27th.
So that would be like a general thing we could put in there?
Yeah, I think so, because we have documentation of all those, what all those items are.
Okay, and you're happy, everything else is within code and zoning and all that
stuff? I mean, yeah, so if you look at the building expansion, I mean, once we figured out the number of parking spaces was okay, that was a big one. I was worried we were going to need a divergence there, but I feel like despite all the counting things I went through, bottom line is that they actually have enough spaces, even if you don't count those parallel spaces, so I think we're good there. We need to clean some stuff up and get the numbers cinched up.
Well, you even sent them a drawing with your red lines showing not to count those spaces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Provided that feedback.
Yeah, and that's how I figured out, oh, they're counting it slightly different than how we're counting it, and that's how we found some of those discrepancies.
And Mr. Schaefer, you're fine with not having it in, if we approve something tonight, that we have a deviation on potentially size, because we really don't know that there's a deviation, we believe.
Yeah, the commission, I think, will have to have that discussion of whether or not you're just sort of accepting it as is, and just saying that basically we're just going to accept that feature, knowing that at this point it's, I can't say it's technically grandfathered, because it wouldn't meet the qualification for being grandfathered, but it is built and sort of is what it is.
It has existed that way for 10 years.
Yeah, and I'm not aware of any, if ever, causing any problems. So, and again, yeah, I cannot sit here and say for certain, yeah, those spaces are less than 10 feet in width. So I am not saying that. I'm saying that is one of the possibilities for why they somehow were able to get 14 spaces in an area that, in a geometrical area that should have only had 13 spaces.
Do you feel that it's safer for Mr. Bernardo and for Genoa Township to have that referenced in this document?
Yeah, we probably would just have to think of how we want to word it, because I don't want to, again, say those spaces are actually 9 feet wide if they're actually 10 feet wide. We just know that there's one more space in that row than somehow was originally approved. You could probably do like a blanket divergence to Article 19 that basically says a divergence to Article 19, which acknowledges an additional space was constructed and will continue to be permitted in the parking row along the eastern edge of the westernmost lot, if that makes any sense.
I didn't take stenography. I have an MBA, but I never took stenography.
I know.
So I'm trying to scribe as fast as you could dictate.
Joe, you're saying that a divergence because of the smaller width.
Because of the smaller width.
Potentially.
Is this one lot, one parking spot, or is this
several
places? About,
they basically have one space more than what they should have had in that row.
And do they? But they have, if counting it that way, they have exactly 130 and they need 130. Is that correct? Or do they have extra lot? Do they have extra?
If you took
spaces?
That spot away, they come out at 131. When it all comes down out of the wash,
they still have one extra.
They would still, they'd be still one space over the requirement.
Okay.
So
if somebody fought this later to reline the parking lot, they still have the space.
Yeah, and if someone say, oh, technically it was actually, there should have been one less space there, and if someone did ever just, you know, if it was ever officially discovered that for whatever reason that extra space somehow got in there, because something else was not compliant, we can at least say, you know, we granted divergence that basically said we're accepting this.
Now an additional space constructed on the eastern edge of the western.
In the easternmost parking row.
Easternmost parking row of the
western
parking.
Wow. Of the development.
Of the western lot.
Yeah, because this is actually two parcels. Or I guess you should say probably parcel, the western parcel of the development.
Western parcel.
Because it's a planned development, we count it just as one big tract.
Western parcel of.
We don't pay attention to the parcel lines in between, but technically this is a development that's.
And this would just
parcels.
Be a article.
I would say because we're not exactly sure, I would just do a blanket divergence for Article 19.
Acknowledge
an additional space.
Okay. From Article 19.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we can put that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably the best belt and suspender way approach, because then it says, okay, regardless of what happened, we're okay with it. And we've officially documented that approval on the record. So I guess going back to Mr. Carter's question, I'm sorry, I sort of derailed it there. But the only risk in terms of, you know, if the commission wished to approve it and sort of leave the heavy lifting of getting all this stuff cleaned up is number one, you know, obviously you're relying on me to make sure it gets done right. And obviously I would do everything I could to make sure it is there. They've got a lot of good guidance. Hopefully, I think good guidance to get them there since I've given them all these notes. So a lot of it is basically, here's what Joe told you to do, now you just need to do it. The only other risk is if they would respond to an outstanding comment or make a revision that revealed some other non-compliance that I wasn't aware of because I didn't have the information at the time. I'd really like to think that that's not going to happen, but there is a small chance. The risk to the applicant at that point being that they're going to have to make the plan compliant because I don't have the ability to approve a divergence, knowing that if we were to get in that situation, they're going to have to come back and reapply and clean up the plan again because we found another issue with it.
And even if we approved a perfectly clean plan and they came up with something later, that would be an issue too.
Yeah, we'd be so in that boat.
No,
yeah,
I mean, we'd be
any,
in the same boat.
Anybody
yeah.
other?
Boat.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Did we get confirmation on the impervious area percentage? Is that 72%?
On the drawing, it says 72%. And the text, I got to find that real quick. In the text, they said the proposed addition will increase the total impervious surfaces to 1.77 acres. And then they put in parentheses 71.9% of the total site of 2.46 acres. So we're really close. We're talking 71.9 versus 72. Yeah. I just want the numbers to be the same. But, I mean, generally speaking, yeah, we're there.
Okay.
I mean, you round it up and you're at the 72. So I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill in that particular case.
Yeah. I just noticed that was called out. I wanted to make sure that was what we were talking about.
You'd mentioned as-built, like the original landscape or the landscaping that was previously approved wasn't installed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the relocation of some trees or landscaping is going where that should have been installed.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess is our expectation that that existing or that landscaping wasn't installed gets installed along with relocating the trees.
Yeah, so if you're interested in making that a condition of approval, the suggested condition of approval that I made, and I've talked to Mr. Bernardo and he agrees that he needs to put the landscaping in. He said that wouldn't be an issue, especially this time of year, a great time of year to plant it in spring. So I don't think that'll be, it sounds like that's not going to be an issue for him. My only concern was if there is actually supposed to be landscaping there, there's not going to be room for those trees, that those trees will just have to get moved elsewhere on site, which is fine. Again, if that's all we were talking about, I'd probably just approve it administratively because it's not really that big picture of things, not that terribly significant. But, you know, it just still needs to be right, essentially, you know. If you said you were going to do those plantings, make sure they're still on the drawings and make sure you actually put in the plantings that were approved as
so promised. Three or four conditions, that's it, I think?
So, basically, we're talking about the condition that we talked about, addressing all those outstanding comments and that I said. It's not really a condition, but you would add on to your list of in your motion of approval, you would just have to cite that divergence we talked about, if that's the direction you decide to go. And then the second condition would be, the landscaping one, if the commission is in agreement with that recommendation.
On the minor major thing, it says the density, it just says an increase in the density is the condition that it goes up by 1.2%. Is that so insignificant that we don't need to make this major?
I actually recommended that they need to revise that response to NA because the word density there is big D density, which is residential density.
Where are you at on that, Jim?
Okay.
Where do you see that at?
I'm on Joe's, this thing.
Okay.
And it's the top says lighting standards, Article 27.
Okay. Thank you.
And, C. Okay, it just said, okay, well, good. That's good to know because I didn't want to get hit on a...
They misunderstood what the word density was meaning in that context. We mean residential density, which obviously that doesn't apply here.
Okay, good. That's all I've got.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I was trying to track your specific comments.
Yeah, there's been a lot of official and sort of unofficial is probably not the right word, but less formal, probably commentary back and forth the past couple days via email.
Yeah, I was trying to.
I will say we decided to do a special meeting. We asked for things to be submitted by the 18th. Up until a couple hours ago, we're still getting stuff. I mean, this is not the normal operation of what we do. And actually, in hindsight, we probably shouldn't have made this meeting. It should have been continued to the next normal meeting. But we tried to do something that was, I guess, nice. But after looking at some of the commentary and the discussions back and forth, I'm kind of disappointed with how this process has gone and the reaction of the applicant. Very disappointed in how staff has been treated, comments, and how this whole process has kind of gone out. So I'm voicing my displeasure there. I'm very disappointed on how that worked. With that, we have worked very well together to make this work. Joe's done an excellent job. Paul, Susan, again, appreciate it. This is not in a status that we would normally go through a vote at all, because it is not a final document. It is not ready to go. But if we decide to move forward, if we have a motion to do so, then there's going to be significant stipulations put on it that no permit would be moving forward unless we have an actual document. So that's putting a lot on staff, on the township, versus coming back in front of us before we actually get that going forward. So this is not normal. So what other
could we
clear up anything else at this point?
Is it legit to do a straw vote to see where we would head before we make a motion and go through all that?
I think you have everything now.
No, we never got like updated development text that reflects all of these red line visions I had. Now, again, it's mostly technicalities, how things are worded, and less about you need to demonstrate that this, what you're wanting to do, is even compliant with zoning. So I'll admit that the only compliance issue that came up was that one question about whether, how were they able to fit that extra space in there? Like I said, I can't actually prove. I know there's a space there that the 2011 drawing show counts as 13, and somehow 14 got built. I really haven't been able to figure out how that happened. But like I said, if the commission's just willing to say it is what it is, we're willing to just accept that and grant a just-in-case divergence to allow it. You know, staff's comfortable with that, because I agree. It's been like that probably for 10-plus years.
So you're saying
for the new sign, do we have any? It's backlit, but do we have any? Was there any other documentation submitted with it or not?
No, all we got was the drawing that shows the elevation drawings that Paul pulled up, and that Article 18 development text. I want to say they did mention
in the text that it meets the requirements on light level and everything else.
I thought I read that it said that it was.
We were good. I don't know.
Jim, you printed it off, didn't you? Did you print that one off?
Oh, this is the one he gave me. You talking about
that's
that?
It's not in there.
I thought
did
I
you
read.
Send us, did you send that one?
Yeah, I believe I did.
You did. It's an email.
This is why.
It's an email.
Acknowledged.
We're going through 8 million.
So if you look at Section 8, so if you have the text in front of you, 180301D, their response says, the proposed new backlit sign is 4 feet tall and 2 feet wide. The sign is approximately, and then here's just a typo discrepancy. It says 12, it's supposed to say 8, but it has the number 8 in parentheses, square feet in size. So obviously 4 times 2 is 8. So they clearly say it's going to be backlit. One of my comments in terms of the sign text was their response to the internal illumination standards in 1805 F1 and 2 were basically just acknowledged. I'm asking them to elaborate on that a little more and actually describe how they're complying. So for internal illumination, the current code says internal illumination of a sign shall be permitted by white interior light of responsible intensity, with primary and secondary images lit or silhouetted on an opaque background. No additional background lighting or illuminated borders shall be permitted. The standard shall apply to electronic message center signs or changeable copy signs where permitted. So they are allowed to internally illuminate the sign, in short. There obviously are standards for when you're up against a residential district, lighting intensity. This particular sign, even though they've got a residential property to the south, it's the cemetery, so we've never really, even though it's technically a residential property, you know, we've never really viewed it that way. The properties immediately to the north are, you know, you got Chandler Court, and then the properties across the street are still non-residential commercial development. So I can't say I have a lot of concerns necessarily about the illumination of this sign. And again, they'll have to comply with what the code says that they can do. And if they want to do something different, they're going to have to come back and amend the plans at a later date.
So, Mr. Schaefer, so if we did pass this conditionally, does that put too much on zoning? Or is that something you guys can do? Would it be any different than if we didn't pass it?
I mean, I'd have to be doing all that review work anyway. If you continued it and they revised stuff, and I'd be doing that review work anyway. So,
I mean, because I end up putting extra stuff on you for...
No,
it wouldn't make any difference. You still have to get them to follow through, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my charge is really the same, whether it's just you're relying on me to making sure that it is 100% clean and compliant. I can handle it. I'm comfortable doing it.
Okay.
It is atypical. It is, but in some ways, not having the time constraints of knowing, hey, we're going to continue this to April 9th, and now you've got to get this done in 3 days... It makes the life a little bit easier for the people on the applicant side who's doing the work, and it also makes my life easier because I don't feel like I've got to review it in 2 days and get a report out in time for the April 9th meeting. So there is that benefit to it.
And you now, said, too, you know, for people who haven't done this before, maybe a template would have been a good thing, acknowledge that there were some problems. And I know I agree with you, David, that there was a little attitude in a few of the letters. And I was just kind of disappointed in that, you know, because we're trying really, really hard to make sure this is done correctly, from the applicant, unfortunately, a little bit. And so, again, thank you for everything you're doing. But you would be good with it, would work some things out. And you don't see us getting in trouble for passing it tonight.
Like I said, it's a little atypical, but can we work through it and get it done and where it needs to be? Yes, as long as something doesn't pop up that I out of left field. Okay. That I don't think anyone really could predict at this point. We should be able to get it all to work out. You know, I'm actually happy to hear the person who worked on the 2009 plans is here and involved with the project, because actually I felt like the 2009 text was in really good shape. And actually, that's really what we're trying to get back to, is we're trying to get this plan back to looking more like what the 2009 text was. The complication obviously being our code has changed so much that they basically had to redo all of it because none of the section numbers match. Okay. Anymore. So that's essentially what we're trying to get back to. In retrospect, and you know, my predecessor allowed them to start down this path. I allowed them to continue down the path of doing these changes piecemeal. In retrospect, what we should have them do is every time they made a change, make a copy of that 2009 plan, redline it, and update it, and then build upon that, as opposed to submitting these supplemental documents, because that's what's caused the confusion. When you do a supplemental document and you only have one or two amendments, it's easy to track, but this will now be the fifth amendment since the original approval, so overall the sixth case file for this, and that's where it just becomes very difficult to try to for staff to administer, much less for anyone else who doesn't live this on a day-to-day basis to
those
understand
things really
it
do happen. And Giammarco's gotten bigger and bigger. I mean, it's just
and that's great, and we're happy to see they're successful. So hopefully if we get this all cleaned up, we actually put them back in a position where it needs to be, and the next time if they do want to make an amendment, we will avoid the mistakes of the past and say, okay, this is how we're going to do it now to hopefully avoid getting ourselves in the situation we're trying to resolve this evening. You know, I did have to explain to the applicant, you know, I know it's frustrating that I can't modify the prior case files for them. Each case file lives individually. So even though there was stuff approved in 2017, I can't go back to the 2009 approval and start taking pages out and supplementing the 2009 approval, at least officially. Now, we have a little book internally where we do that just so we can keep everything straight, and we make all sorts of notes on it. But that's not the official record. The official record reflects each case being individual. So that's why, you know, we just can't do that process. You know, I'm not the applicant. I don't have, okay, you know, thanks, rights to their project. So I understand the frustration that staff not doing that, but it's just not something we can do.
So, Mr. Schaefer, you're comfortable if we can come up with the right wording for an approval tonight, because it's whether it's now or whether we set another deadline and it happens. How would you like your comments dealt with if we were to pose that question to you to make it a little easier on staff and on the applicant?
What we'll probably end up doing is they'll probably start just sending me, hey, this is what we've put together. Does this satisfy you what you want to do? Before we give you the whole package and bother printing everything up, that's typically how I handle things. We'll probably have a lot of back and forth. But like I said, a little bit of the pressure will be off because we're not trying to get this all right and perfect for a meeting in 2 days. We're just going to be working through the process and trying to get it where it needs to be. Now, I'm sure there will still be a little pressure in terms of time, because I understand Mr. Bernardo is trying to get this construction started and hopefully finished by the winter this year. I totally get that. I totally appreciate it. Obviously, we have our responsibilities on our end that we have to meet. And so we'll do our best to try to help him get to that timeline, but, you know, I'm still going to have to follow our procedures, our protocols, make sure things are compliant, and making sure I'm following the directives and any conditions of approval the commission would levy should the plan be approved.
All right, so with that, I think we do have a divergence that we need to review at this point if we're going to do a blanket divergence.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, would you like to take your shot at divergence review?
Oh, okay.
Give the big heavy lifting to Sarah on our last night?
Yeah, since she wrote it all down, that would help. Yeah. So I'm here on the
bottom of page two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for divergence, okay. Let me just start reading this here.
You want?
Yeah. You want me to?
If you were writing that down, sure, that would certainly be appreciated. But thank you for the opportunity.
I would propose that we would.
Read it.
Okay. The commission reviewed each divergence request against the standards set forth within section 2707 of the Township Zoning Resolution, determine if such request is warranted. Section 2707.05, divergence requests shall demonstrate how granting the request will advance public interest and general purposes of the zoning resolution by promoting or not having an adverse impact on one or more of the following purposes. A, the conservation and protection of the natural resources, scenic areas, wildlife habitat, and historical and unique natural features of the land. B, the health, safety, morals, and general welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Genoa Township. C, the quality of life within Genoa Township through the protection of the total environments and the protection and prevention of nuisances and hazards, and the provision of adequate light, air, and convenient access to property. D, the assurance of the compatibility of land uses which are either adjacent or in proximity to each other. E, the orderly development of all lands within the township to its appropriate use. And F, the most appropriate use of land to facilitate and provide adequate public and private improvements. Per section 2707.07, unless a deviation from the development standard is specifically approved as a divergent, the same shall comply with. We are considering a divergent to Article 19 finding. This would acknowledge the additional parking space constructed on the easternmost parking row of the western parcel of the development.
Yeah, I will add that we must have forgotten to update the script. If you recall, in the last zoning resolution amendment last year, we added divergence review item G, which is consistency with the recommendations of the official Genoa Township comprehensive plan currently in effect, subject to the provisions of section 108 of this resolution. So
and
apologies.
We will have that added. Commission review for determining, oh no, sorry.
Right? So we've done that part. Now we need to do major or minor, but does anybody have any comments or objections to the divergence? It does not seem to affect anything A through G.
Yeah.
Nope. At that point. Agree. Okay. So major or minor?
Go for it.
Go.
Okay. Move to declare the subject final development plan amendment application TGB.
Whoa.
Is that where we are?
No.
Sorry.
Start major, minor.
Major, minor motion.
Yep. No, read the section above it first.
Section 27-1003.
There you go.
27-1003, okay. Yep. Should a final development plan amendment request represent a substantial departure from the intent of the original proposal, i.e. in a major amendment, said modification or amendment shall be subject to submission requirements and procedures set forth herein. The following shall be considered substantial departures from the original application, and following review and recommendation of the Zoning Commission shall be subject to final consideration by the Township Trustees. So the ones we're going to look at to make sure it doesn't affect these is A, a significant change in the use or character of the development. B, a significant increase in overall coverage of structures. C, an increase in the density, which we've discussed is residential. D, an increase in the problem of traffic circulation of public utilities. E, a significant reduction of approved open space. F, a reduction of required off-street parking and loading space. A reduction in required pavement widths. Or H, a reduction of the acreage in the planned development. Discussions?
Go ahead.
Or?
Now go ahead and make your...
Okay. I move to declare the subject final development plan amendment application TGB Holdings Zoning Commission case number 2024-01, including all plans and materials, a minor amendment to the final development plan per section 2710.03 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, thus not requiring subsequent action by the Board of Trustees. This motion is being made for the following reasons. As we stated, this does not, neither A through H deserves a departure from the original application of A through H.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any comments, questions? Roll, Mr. Schaefer.
Roll call, Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Sears.
Yes.
Ms. Walsh.
Yes.
Mr. Wester.
Yes.
Mr. Leff.
Yes. All right, minor amendment. And with that, we will go to page 6, I believe.
Yep. So maybe just for the applicant's edification, do you want me to explain what that motion actually just did? Because so basically, the zoning code says when you're doing a plan amendment, if it's the zoning commission rules that it's a major amendment, the application would then have to go in front of the Board of Trustees to obtain a final approval. As you can hear, they just passed a motion that it's a minor amendment. So that means the zoning commission can make the final decision on the application, and the application will have to go in front of the trustees. It does mean that whatever decision the commission makes is the binding decision. So if it's approved, you know, the approval's done. You'll work with me to go through any of the conditions that may be included. But that also means if it's denied, it's denied. Now, the code does allow, in the case of a denial, for the case to go in front of the trustees if the applicant wants to take a shot in front of the trustees. So just want to make sure I made that clear.
All right. So before we make a motion, we need to talk about a couple wording.
Sure.
Make sure we're good. All right. So we're talking about all comments and recommendations from Joe's technical and review are implemented in a development plan text. Is that appropriate wording?
Yeah, I would probably add... something to the effect to sort of say they have to demonstrate compliance, zoning. I just want to make sure we put it in a way that they know that they have to adequately address all my commentary. That I've got to be content with it and feel like it's compliant, it's complete, and it's in a state where it can be administered and enforced. So I'm not exactly sure how to
Would something like all comments and recommendations from Genoa Township staff technical review?
And staff memo.
Pardon me?
And staff memo. You want that in there too, or that?
Okay. I would say the staff memo.
Okay.
Staff technical review and any commentary provided to the applicant between March 18th and March 27th.
Any comment? Okay. With applicant to demonstrate compliance, satisfactory with.
Well, because it's more than, to some degrees, it's more than demonstrate compliance. It's ensuring that the documents are in a state where they can be properly administered and enforced.
With documents.
Now, my commentary, basically, I provided them, reflects all that. So maybe you don't need to say that then. Possibly, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm like you. I'm trying to think through it on the fly. So
document final approval satisfactory to Director of Zoning.
Yeah, to the satisfaction. Yeah, that probably works.
Documents
to the satisfaction of the director.
And then since your notes and your technical review already have the former development plan call outs, the landscape program. We don't have to specifically call any of those.
No, because that's all, unless there was something that I didn't include in my reports or feedback that I've given them in those correspondence that you feel like needs to be added.
Okay, and then you want the landscaping?
Well, I think landscaping is in those comments.
So that's in there, so we're good. So we can take that out, okay?
So just, if the only thing regarding landscaping is if you want to make a condition that they have to put the plantings in before we issue the zoning permit.
If they have to what?
If they have to put the plantings in before they get the zoning permit. Also on that first condition probably should also be.
Well, that was my next question. Is
that
they tie it back to the permit.
That they tie it back to the permit, that we won't issue the permit until that first condition is.
Condition one. Yeah. Plantings, okay, but we've got.
Similarly, if they put the plantings on this drawing and staff is making sure we're diligent and making sure that they're following through with this approved plans, we also could catch that the plantings get done as part of this project.
Yep.
We don't typically make people do that before they get a permit.
Well, the only reason we would do it in this instance is because they were supposed to be there already per the 2017 plans and they didn't do them. So it depends on how stringent the commission wants to be on it.
Do put that as a condition.
In the alternative, again, staff is going to, what we'll do going forward, as we do now with non-residential projects, is we'll tell them they have to obtain a certificate of zoning compliance at the end of the project. When we issue the permit, that'll be one of the stipulations.
Okay.
When we do that review, when they're ready to have that inspection done, we'll go out there, and if those plantings aren't there, we're going to say, you're not going to get your certificate of compliance. We might give you a temporary one because you've done all this other stuff, but we're not going to give you the final certificate until you get these plantings done, knowing that if that drags out too long, then we would be have grounds for a zoning violation because they haven't followed their plans. Hopefully, we would never get to that point.
Does that trigger anything else from, like, occupancy or anything else?
No, it doesn't control occupancy because occupancy is regulated by the building code and Ohio law. I can't prevent them from not occupying the space because they don't have plants.
So building permit.
Yeah, the county could still approve the building permit in that situation. So it really depends on, does the commission want to say, you should have put these plants in, so we don't want you to get a zoning permit until the plants are put in? Or is the commission willing to say, they haven't been there, we know staff's going to have to inspect them now, and this will require a certificate of compliance, that as long as they get those done by the time to get that certificate of compliance, that you're okay with that. Those are the...
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Correct?
Or yeah. Correct, yeah. Okay. That'd be standard protocol.
Okay.
So, and I'm sorry, when I was writing the memorandum and made that recommendation, I wasn't really thinking about, we're going to have to go out and inspect this site anyway, so as long as those plants are added to the drawing per my commentary, we'll have a way of making sure they get done.
So So is that the only condition we need?
What?
Just that one.
The comments from Mr. Schaefer's technical review and staff memo. Is there something else we needed to do also?
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, if it sounds like you're getting that landscaping one isn't going to be a condition, you would just have, from what I'm hearing, you'd have that one condition plus
one,
you would need to list the divergence.
Which is Article 19.
Yep. That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
All right. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the following. The subject final development plan amendment application, including all plans and materials, and which have been deemed by this commission to be a minor amendment pursuant to section 2710.03, submitted by TGB Holdings to add a 1,360 square foot addition on approximately 2.46 acres of property located at 6030 Chandler Court, Westerville, Ohio, 43082, currently zoned Plan Industrial District, PID, zoning case number 2024-01, incorporating exhibits A through G. A through H, and any comments made by this applicant during this hearing. Pardon me?
Commitments.
Any commitments made by this applicant during this hearing, including all comments and recommendations from Genoa Township's staff's memo, technical review, with documentation to the satisfaction of the Genoa Township Director of Development. No permit will be issued until Genoa Township Director of Development has complete documentation for this project.
And all notes and materials given to the applicant from staff.
And all notes and
documents.
Documents.
Given to applicant
from staff.
I would say between March 18th and March 27th.
Between March 18th and March 22nd. I further move to approve the following divergence from the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution, Article 19. This motion to be approved, to approve the subject final development plan amendment application is based on the following facts of finding and conclusions. It's a minor amendment.
And once all documentation is completed, it meets the guidelines. So you have to say it.
And once all the documentation is completed, we'll meet the guidelines. That was the messiest motion I've ever made in my entire life.
It's not the messiest one we've ever made. It's okay.
But I tumbled through it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Carter, second. Are there any comments or questions? Joe, if you feel comfortable with where we worded anything or any modifications?
Before we do the roll call, I would recommend, is the applicant accepting of condition that the commission wishes to levy? Okay, I'm sorry. Can you say it in the microphone on the record?
Turn it on.
Yes.
Sorry, I just wanted to make sure because we can't unilaterally levy those conditions without the applicant being on board.
For the record, Julie Godfrey. I think that covered everything. I don't have any other comments.
Yeah, I know the applicant's made sincere efforts here. You know, staff trying to make a sincere efforts here in terms of getting this done. I think everyone agrees overall the project makes sense as a good project. It was just a lot about the technicalities and details.
It's just getting it documented. Yep. Correct.
Roll call, Mr. Schaefer.
Roll call.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Sears?
Yes.
Ms. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wester?
Yes.
Mr. Leff?
Yes, motion carries. The time is now 8:19. That concludes this portion of the meeting. Thank you. Anything else we want to add?
No, sir. Since this is a special meeting just for this topic, there's nothing else on the agenda this evening. I'll see you all Tuesday, April 9th. Again, it's Tuesday due to the solar eclipse, 7 o'clock. You have one application on your agenda that evening. And we'll also do zoning resolution amendment. Right. I will try to get you updated copies on that, reflecting your commentary from the last meeting in the very near future.
One last comment before I make a motion. Mr. Sears, thank you very much for your role as an alternate, and best of luck. Sorry to see you won't be continuing with us, but thank you for filling in. Ms. Walsh, thank you for 5 wonderful years of your enjoyed presence, and thank you for being a part of this secondary hearing. When we thought the last one was going to be your last date,
yes,
you're back. So yes, thank you. Appreciate your help and, yes, and what you've been able to give to us from a commission's perspective. Thank you. Let's have a motion to do something.
I move we adjourn.
Move we adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None of those. Good. Meeting now closed.
There's a second on that.
What? Oh. Second? Sorry.
Second.
I seconded. Okay, Mr. Left.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Meeting ends 8:20 p.m.